the night is setting in and it's time for walking a dog. But on this occasion, the dogs have got together and brought Roger Overall and myself out. So we're walking around the estate here. And let's have a little chat, Roger, shall we? A public chat?
Let's do.
Let's just be ourselves and let other people eavesdrop.
Very good.
So what kind of day did you have?
A very good day, a very interesting day. Where did it start? Well, I suppose it started this morning while I was making tea for myself, feeling quite rotten, as it turned out, because after last night's walk with the dog and the...
We walked last night, did we not?
Fabulous conversation. I had to unwind and bring my mind to peace after all the interesting thoughts we'd had, so I watched a bit of nonsense television, but I didn't get to bed until about 1 o'clock.
Was that England playing somebody, was it?
it may have been the cricket, in which case that wouldn't be nonsense at all, because in the cricket, England are doing well. We won't talk about the football.
I would like to talk cricket. I'm way out of touch, by the way, but to carry on without talking about cricket, anyway.
We'll lose our audience. They'll go, well, I'm not listening anymore, they're talking cricket.
Look, all the baseball fans are mad about cricket.
Oh, are they?
No, absolutely. Yeah. They're only dying to come over and play cricket. And the Irish cricket team is very sexy.
I couldn't possibly comment on that. Well, there's a comment that would stop
you. This is a late night conversation, right? This is not... There are no rules about coherence.
No, very good. We'll leave the sex appeal of the Irish cricket team to one side for a second. I was feeling pretty ropey, but I got an email very early this morning from an agency in Dublin who I had indirectly done some work for before. They loved the work that I'd done for one of their clients. And they'd already intimated that they liked the documentary feel and that there might be some projects coming up. Well,
but I thought all these agencies said that, look, documentary stuff doesn't work.
Yes. Well, they had. And I think, but at the time, and here's the interesting thing. So I met a lot of agencies, and just in general, the feeling was for commercial work, documentary doesn't work. Now, I knew that it did, because in America they've been doing this for a while, hugely influenced by a photographer called Doug Menuhin, and large companies, the Emirates, for airlines, for instance, had a big, a big ad campaign. We are walking through just
piles of slugs. Have you put your foot in dog slugs?
No, it's slugs.
Oh, God, yeah, there's slugs here, yeah.
Oh, my goodness, don't come out to Glenmire. It's been taken over by slugs. Anyway,
how dare you comment about our local politicians? I think that's unfair.
Oh, I think John Gilroy will have the words with you now. Anyway, where was I? So Emirates Airlines, American Express, all these companies have been using documentary images in their advertising campaigns. So when I was meeting with agencies about a couple of years ago and they were saying, no, it can't be done, I knew it could. And I was being told by my colleague photographers, a lot of whom would do the staged, very beautifully lit, very managed photography, they were all saying to me, your time is going to come because it will happen. And I was starting to lose heart. But as it turns out, well, maybe it is. Maybe it is happening now.
Oh, so what happened? Don't tell me you got a commission this morning that has called you in to do a... I don't know what.
Well, maybe. So I have I'm working on pricing, which we'll talk about in a minute, because something interesting happened there as well. I'm working on a pricing at the moment for a project which I'm the photographer. I was sent the brief document that the agency had compiled for their client. And the images that were used, the sample images, were all mine. And I'm named in this document. So there is really only one photographer who is going to be getting this job, and it's me.
So
that already.
They're putting a piece of work out to pitch, and they're giving your work as an example. Is that right?
No, they already have the job.
Right.
And they know what they want to do with the client. They're quite far down the line, and my images are what are being used as the example of what their client in turn should do, and I'm named in the document.
And look, let me ask you this thing. Look, forget about the money, forget about the fact that, you know, you need the work, right? We all need the work,
absolutely.
Right. But if you were a very rich man and you didn't need the work, would you actually want to work for this company? You don't have to answer this question, right, by the way. By the way, I'm asking you a question that, you know, who knows who's listening to this audio. But actually, that's the question that comes into my mind, you know. Do we sometimes take work for the money, but we don't actually love the client enough?
Well, the honest answer is I don't know, because they're both new clients to me. So I'm aware of the clients, both the agency and their own end client. I've done work in a similar space before. I've enjoyed it. So, but whether I will get on with these clients, I don't know. I'd like to think so, but we will
and
see.
And that's the thing, you know. I often wonder about this. I've been watching this thing called The Pitch on TV. Ever heard of it? It's basically two ad agencies pitching for a client, and the client briefs both, and you then have about 10 or 14 days of, you know, of a story presented on TV, during which both sides get ready for the big competitive pitch, and then one of them wins and the other loses. So I've been kind of thinking about this, you know, about how... Oh, last night, in the one I watched last night, the client actually went to visit both of the agencies that were getting ready. And this was fairly unprecedented.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just... It highlighted, I think, for me, the issue about people get to agree to do a piece of work without either party knowing whether there is... really resilient rapport. I'm picking that word carefully, not just kind of superficial attraction, right? I'm talking about, are they capable of, you know, it's a bit like fighting in bed with each other.
Well, this is interesting, because the agency doesn't know me, other than that we've had brief interaction by email over some work that I did for another of its clients. And they really loved that work. So they already have a bond with my work, but not with me. And that's quite an interesting point, because in you know, from their perspective, I might be a complete bastard. I might be a really horrible person. They don't know. They might take an intense dislike to me the moment I meet them in person. So it's funny how the work, which they really love, and I got lovely feedback from them when my client sent the photographs on to them for the project that they were working on together. So they know my work and they love my work, and my work is a great ambassador for me. But a good point. Will they like me when they meet me?
Well, look, can we change the subject?
Yes, we can.
Jane Boyd said you were lovely.
My wife would agree.
You're a lucky man. Go on.
What can I possibly say to Jane Boyd?
Yeah, I just thought I'd throw you a... What do they call it in baseball? Throw you a curveball?
A curveball.
A curveball. That was a curveball,
so that
right?
Came out of left field, which I think is another baseball...
Or a googly. Okay, we'll call that a googly. Or no, a Chinaman, actually. I prefer to call that a Chinaman.
Or is it a douche? I don't know. One of these wonderful new balls that keep being invented, usually by cricketers from the what we like to call the subcontinent. I hope that's not too derogatory. And they pitch up in England, and they always have these magic balls that nobody's ever seen before, and then we have to invent a name for them.
All right, look, back to Jane Boyd and her 45 conversations, right? What do you think of this mad woman who lives on the outskirts of Vancouver deciding that she's going to talk to 45 people around the world? What do you think of that idea?
I think it's an incredibly good idea. I think it's really... So she's going to have 45 conversations, proper conversations now, okay?
Yeah, some of them go on a long time.
Proper conversations.
Yeah.
Well, when was the last time you had 45 conversations in 4 days, proper conversations with people? I think most people listening to this audio boo wouldn't have 45 proper conversations in a month, let alone with people all around the world. What a great idea. And I think she's actually been speaking to people who she... had never spoken to before either. Now, I've spoken to Jane before, you've spoken to Jane before, I've never spoken to her one-on-one before.
But I've never sent my sister a Google Plus message saying, would you please speak to Jane Boyd?
Well, Has your sister spoken to Joan Boyd?
I don't know, but I sent my sister in Scottsdale, Arizona, a Google Plus message, and I've never sent her a Google Plus message before, saying, look, this woman in Vancouver is bloody wonderful. Would you please talk to her?
I think this is, as far as I know now, she's the world record holder of the most conversations, proper conversations, in the shortest period of time. Because nobody's ever done it before, I'm sure.
So this is Guinness Book of Records stuff, these 45 conversations?
Well, I'd like to think so.
Next birthday, in that case, this is a damn challenge. If we're going to go in for Guinness Book of Records, I'm a lot older than Jane Boyd. I'm going to hold 62 conversations, but not in the... Jane Boyd is doing it in between Canada Day and Independence Day.
Yes.
Now, that to me is a wonderful way of remembering for a European over here who sometimes stumbles into making mistakes about the difference between Canada and the United States. Intellectually, I know the differences, but, we've all fallen into the trap of saying, oh, you've got an American, where are you from in America? And they turn out to be in Canada.
Have you ever had the brilliant put down when we're actually from the very large state in the north? And then you, because they're leading you along, and you go, oh, Alaska then, and they go, no, from Canada.
God, no, I haven't heard that one, actually. No. Where's your favourite place in the whole of... in Canada? Where's your favourite place in Canada?
I would like to go to Edmonton. I've never been to Canada, and I had the opportunity to go to Canada when I was a teenager, and somehow it never happened. So I have no favourite place in Canada because I've never been to Canada. I'm sure Montreal is wonderful. I'm sure Toronto is wonderful. I'm sure Vancouver, which has this amazing reputation as being the most incredible place on earth with mountains and islands and the sea.
And Jane Boyd.
The thing is, because I was always supposed to go to Edmonton and never went, I know it's in the middle of the plains somewhere and it's allegedly quite, I'm not going to say boring because I'll upset anybody from Edmonton listening to this, but I would love to go to Edmonton because I should have gone and I never did. So I need to catch up time there.
Are you an ice hockey fan?
Edmonton Oilers.
You know your ice hockey.
I did. When I met my dad was living in Edmonton, that's why I was supposed to go and I never did. But when I finally did go to the Americas for the first time, I went to Boston and my dad collected me. And he just recently moved for his work from Canada, from Edmonton, down to Boston. And he collected me and he had a sticker on the back of his car. And it was for the Edmonton Oilers. And I said, oh, Edmonton Oilers. And he was astonished that I was living in Holland at the time, anybody in Holland would actually have heard of the Edmonton Oilers. But of course, thanks to television and what have you, and Holland went from, in the space of a few years, from having two television channels, which started broadcasting at 5:30 in the afternoon, to having...
Oh, this was like Ireland used to be.
Well, yes, I'm sure it was. But they went in a very short time from that to having multitude of channels, 24 hours a day. So, of course, they needed to fill it with something. So one of them filled it with Stanley Cup ice hockey. So that's how I knew about the Edmonton Oilers.
I have a picture of Canada. I've been a few times, and one of the memories that I'd love to relive is actually overlooking the St. Lawrence River in Quebec City, looking out over where I think it was Colonel Wolfe, who has, I think, two L's and two F's. But anyway, was Quebec City, old Quebec City, wonderful collection of restaurants, wonderful. I believe they do the most wonderful snow scenes in the middle of the winter.
I don't know. Quebec, I'd love to go. If anybody wants to hire me to shoot a documentary project in Quebec or anywhere in Canada for that matter, I'm available.
Okay, but look, forget about waiting to take any old offer. Okay, design your own documentary. But given how little you know about Canada, design your own, here and now, on the hoof, your own documentary project in Canada. Roger Overall, you have 30 seconds.
What's the national drink of Canada?
They drink maple leaves, don't they?
They drink maple leaves.
Yeah, they crush them up and they mix them with water and they bury it and they lift it up and they drink it.
Well, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, it's the national drink of Canada.
Well, there you are. Well,
well known.
Well known, you've just picked that up.
Go on anyway. Go on.
So the non-maple drink, maple drink of Canada. There must be something.
Probably rye whiskey, come on. I mean, or beer or something like that.
Okay, well, the
anyway, they're all teetotalers in Canada.
Oh, are they? Well, then it's going to be something really special.
Yeah.
There will be a food, there will be a drink associated with Canada that is very unique to them. It might be, I don't know, it might be vodka for all.
You're going down the tequila project, aren't you? The Canadian version of the tequila project.
No.
Come on, own up. You're doing the Doug Menuhin project. Go on.
I could only hope to do a tequila project. No, I don't know. See, the thing is, tequila and Mexico blend together very well, and it's a very rich connection. I don't know anything about Canada in that regard, so it would be interesting. Maybe there isn't. Other than that, I think I would like to do a documentary project. There's vast plains there. What must it be like to live in such isolation? That'd be an interesting project to live with a family.
I want you to do another project. You see, I want you to go over there and do a documentary project.
This would be on Jane Boyd, wouldn't it?
No, it will not be on Jane Boyd. It's on Nick Kellett. Right. I want you to go to Canada, right? Get on a plane, go to and do a week in the life of Nick Kellett, right?
Very good.
Okay, I happen to know he lives in the back of Beyond. I have had a Skype call with him. I've seen some of the inside of, I think it's his house, although I'm not totally sure it isn't somebody else's house, but never mind. A week in the life of Nick Kellett in the development of Listley. Actually, I know what it is. Forget Nick Kellett. We'll do a week in the life of Listley.
In the life of Listley.
Now, I believe Listley are going to...
That's beyond Canada, you know. That's a global thing. That's a National Geographic article right there. How would you photograph that? I mean, that's a fantastic idea. Nick, you might want to sponsor this.
No, we'd get a team of photographers, right? You can be a transmedia producer, right?
Yes.
You are a photographer, documentary photographer, but the point is Listley is being developed in different ways in different places,
yes,
right?
Exactly.
So you can basically run the project which involves documenting a week in the life of Listley. Right, you can't take all the photographs. Sorry, mate. You got to get, but
well,
you can.
Possible.
You can
possible.
Exactly. So you can get all the other documentary photographers to latch onto. So wherever, I mean, I don't know where Nick Kellett's business partner, whose name I admit I can't pronounce, and who I was privileged and honoured to discover this evening is following one of my lists. But the point is that what about that? A life, a day, a week in the life of a business that has got as much potential as Listley has.
It's a spectacularly good idea. I really do. No, because what you the challenges that it poses are immediately very interesting. There is a way of visualising this, I'm convinced.